Hello and welcome back to General Chat. Today's guest is the wonderful Stonegrasp, a fellow podcaster, streamer, and all-around challenge fanatic. He is the co-host of WoW Challenges podcast and Adventures in Azeroth. He is the helm of WoWChallenges.com, home to the Iron Man Challenge and the Pacifist Challenge, which we'll talk about here in just one sec. Please join me in welcoming Stonegrasp. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Happy to have you on. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
I wanted to reach out and talk to you because I've done a couple of these challenges. Now, I haven't done the Iron Man Challenge because that one is difficult.
Yeah, that one went through a bit of a curve. Like it got really hard now because of 735. Before it was... I mean, it was hard, but now it's even more so.
Yeah, well, there's just so much stuff to dodge. Well, with all this WoW stuff that you do, when did you start playing WoW? What got you into it? Have you been here since vanilla?
Yeah, I started playing... I played Warcraft 2, and that's what got me into it. And, I didn't really care for Warcraft 3 so much because of the cameras and how they tried to make it look cool and stuff. I didn't really like it. I liked War 2, not the totally top-down, but that 45-degree angle kind of deal. And once they said that they were going to come out with the MMO, which was supposed to be a single-player game where you're playing Thrall, I was like, oh yeah, I'm in, because it's going to be good, right? And then they scrapped it, and I was like, oh, boo-hoo. And when they re-announced it as a MMO, I was like, okay, I was in day one. And unfortunately, I don't know how to make friends. So I played vanilla Warcraft for about a year, and then I kind of got into this part where I didn't know what else to do. I wasn't in any guilds to raid with, and I was just like, okay, well, nothing else for me to do, and I didn't want to pay for my sub, so I unsubbed. And I unsubbed for about a year until they announced Burning Crusade. And once I got back into it, I've been subbed ever since. But because I missed that year sub, I didn't get my statue, and I'm very sad for that.
Oh no, a true tragedy, because that statue was beautiful.
I would love to have it, but I'm not willing to pay for it.
When did that social interaction come into play for you? When did you start really getting into like guilds and the community behind Warcraft? Because you do a lot of community stuff with Warcraft now.
So in Burning Crusade, I was jumping between guilds because I didn't really know people to play with. And it wasn't until the end of Burning Crusade that my friend brought me into a guild. And then that guild broke up, and he brought me into another guild. And that guild was where I began to, like, you know, just hang out with folks and realize, hey, we're all here just to hang out and have some fun. I think maybe some of the problems was that maybe the guilds that I was in before, they were a little bit too hardcore, and I like to bring my best, but I'm not the best, right? So I didn't really fit in very well, but then, you know, I found some guilds that I did fit in with very well, and guilds blow up and blah 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 and all this stuff, and I've found another group of like-minded folks that I love to raid with and stuff now. So shout out to Phalanx of Nod. Yo.
Well, I'm glad you finally found your people, the people that you are most comfortable with, because that really lets you shine, that group of like-minded individuals.
Yeah, and it wasn't, and you said, you know, I do a lot in WoW for, like, the social part. And honestly, I kind of feel like my part is maintaining a website and making a podcast to showcase the people that participate in Irons and Bloodthirsties and all that. And I kind of, I don't, I don't feel like a podcaster because there's a lot more other people that have a lot more podcasting experience than I do, that do a way better job than I do. I feel like, I'm just one of the people trying to shine a light on some folks that do some very hard gaming stuff in WoW. And that's pretty much it.
Well, you certainly do that because one of the things that I've noticed about your show, about WoW Challenges, the podcast, is that you guys, and on Adventures in Azeroth, but mostly on WoW Challenges, is that you guys often highlight things that are happening in the community. For instance, we're ramping up for BlizzCon this year, so you guys are promoting DitchCon and Calm Before the Storm and things like that. It really seems like you devote a good section of the podcast to helping other people reach their community goals. Where does that need stem from for you? Why do you like doing that?
It's a little bit of trying to give back. When I first started the Iron Man site, the site as it is now, I basically spammed everybody saying, "Hey, we have a new website. We're not dead, and I'm just trying to take things over. And any help you guys can give me, I would, really, really thank you very much for it." And out of everybody I spammed, I got 19 people actually replied and said that they would feature us on the show and all this stuff. And I kind of, and from that I felt like, I feel like everybody's helped us like so much that, it is the least that I can do is to help folks out as well. So be it, if folks want to start a podcast, I don't know the first thing. I'm sorry, I did not know the first thing about starting my own show. I do now. I don't know as much as, say, Pat Crane, but I would be willing to help like anybody out if I can. So being able to help folks out is more of a thank you for me because I just felt like everybody helped us out like crazy.
That's the interesting thing, isn't it, about community, is that there's this sense of giving and receiving, especially within, what used to be more of a marginalized group. Warcraft players used to get made fun of a lot, not so much now, but we used to be just referred to as a bunch of fucking nerds, if you'll excuse me. And I think the idea that we can lift each other up is something that's really prevalent in this community. That's why I wanted to start doing this, to kind of showcase where that desire is coming from, where that like deep, unabiding fandom comes from, because that's rooted in something. And I want to know what your love of games is rooted in. When did you start playing games?
Oh man. I believe that the first game I ever really remember playing was Miss Pac-Man at an arcade. Like an arcade, right? Not at home, although I did have it for the Atari 2600. That was my first in. And honestly, because of the whole social thing, I'm not a social kind of guy. Games, it actually may not have been a good thing. It let me kind of not worry about folks and just focus on having some fun and maybe playing. So I think I feel like I maybe played a little bit too many games back when I was a kid. Maybe too many games now too. But I mean, at this point in my life, I mean, th this is what I like, and I'm in a good spot, and there's just nothing wrong with it. So I'm not missing meals or missing showers and stuff. So I think everything's okay.
I love that Miss Pac-Man in the arcade. Oh man, do I miss an arcade? They're all gone, Stone. Where did they go?
There's actually there's a few that so I think I've seen one in my area here that they are trying to get it back up. But I kind of feel like it's not going to be the same because for them to remain in business, they have to charge more than a quarter, right? So I mean, it's going to feel different, right? And I feel like if I go play Miss Pac-Man for a dollar, man, that's expensive. I mean, like I'll probably go once, but you know, I think I've been, I think I like being able to sit at home, play what I want when I want, and not have to worry about outside stuff. I can play my games without any shorts or pants on, and it's fantastic, let me tell you.
Oh, the freedom.
I know. I think the only thing I do miss are LAN parties where you take all your computers, go to a friend's house and go sleep overnight and just play games all night long. And I think that's about the only thing I think I would probably do again, maybe once, but trying to unplug everything and plug everything back in together and lugging it around, it's kind of a pain in the arse.
Oh, that makes me think of that. You know that iconic LAN party image where it's like a bunch of people, they're sitting out at their computers, but then one guy is also like taped to the ceiling?
No? What?
Yes, okay, so I'm gonna link that in the show notes and I'll send it to you in a DM. But it is this amazing, it's just this iconic picture of just like clearly LAN parties had just become a thing. There's thick glasses and even thicker computers, and just one guy who is duct taped to the ceiling.
Yeah, I you know what? There was always that one guy at our group that he would kick our asses in like everything. And there are times where we've actually tried to cheat where somebody would go beneath the desk and actually unplug his keyboard and stuff just to screw with him. But yeah, we should have duct taped him.
I mean, that certainly would have solved the problem. I think that there's not completely a death of arcades or LAN parties because I think there's still a fair amount of nostalgia for those things. MAGFest, which is a local convention where I am, has an entire LAN section. I know that arcades are kind of coming back with the barcade, you know, not just big name like Dave and Buster's, but more small, standalone, nerdy themed bars where people who grew up playing in arcades are now adults who can now drink and play video games, which I think has a niche appeal.
Yeah, I feel like that's the kind of thing that's trying to open up around here. And yeah, I could go and play some games and get drunk. Sure. As long as I can get a drive back from someone, I'd do it in a second.
But you know what I could also do in my own home? Is play video games and get drunk.
Yes. Well, I mean, I try to like when I'm at home, I don't usually drink unless I'm raiding. And I don't know why. I just, you know, I feel like with the group of people that we have, I feel like it's okay. Like I'm with a group of friends, even though they're not like here, we're still here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's that camaraderie. It's that we're all sharing a beer and playing this game together, that group experience. Now, we've talked a bit about you playing exclusively WoW these days, or pretty much exclusively, but Blizzard franchise is not just WoW. Do you play any other games? Any of the Overwatch? Any of the Hearthstones? The HOTS?
Okay. It's kind of funny. I like to play Overwatch until the league actually went on. And when that and when and when and when Overwatch League when that first went on, I was like I loved it. And ever since that ran, I've gotten my Overwatch fix from watching and not playing, which is kind of weird because I feel like they want you to be watching and get inspired to play. And I'm like, well, no, I feel like I'm getting my fill by watching and then playing the rest of my time with Overwatch, playing with in WoW. I don't really get into Heroes. I did Heroes once, just get the there was like a WoW mount that you had to get if you played 10 matches or you won 10 matches or something, or played 10. I can't remember what it was. It was about a year or so ago. And I believe Hearthstone is the only other one that I sort of play, but really not a whole lot. It's on my phone, but I only play it if I like have absolutely nothing else to do, which is rare because I have lots of stuff to do usually.
It's interesting you say that about the Overwatch League, because I've actually had the same experience and I didn't know how to verbalize it because I've never been into sports, I've never been into esports, but because I had played Overwatch and really enjoyed it, I was like, oh, I'm gonna watch the Overwatch League. And my friends, you and I would watch it together and we'd text back and forth or be on Discord and be like sharing that moment of like, oh yeah, the team that we wanted did this thing, or maybe someone got a really sick headshot or something. And just that like shared excitement was such a bonding experience. Like, I get now why people like football and soccer and are into team sports and whatnot. But as a side result, I no longer play Overwatch because I'm just like, I will never be a like pro level player, and I don't know, I just enjoy watching it better.
Yeah, and honestly, I am not into e sports at all, or at least I was not until Overwatch League came out. And I think the reason why is that how they base their teams, where you have one team and this sorry, you have one team and it's going to be in a city, right? And that's your local team. That part, I feel like it let me latch on to a team that I liked, right? Versus let's say Heroes. I think a couple years ago, Cloud9, I think, was a team. They're a good team or something like that. I don't know. It seems like when you to me, it felt like if you didn't have a local, hey, this is where you play from, the teams change way too much. And I think I like it where you know that the teams are going to be the same every year, just different players because they want to get like a different person in for this or that spot. I think that's what really got me into it. And I think Overwatch League did that on purpose to be different from other leagues.
100%, and I think it's also a smart move because there's always room for expansion. For example, if you were gonna want a Canadian team, like from your area, who would you want them to be? Like the oh, this will be real stereotypical, the
Well,
Canadian Musketeers. What are you looking for?
Musketeers. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's got to be somewhere in Toronto, because that's the center of the universe. If you ask any other Canadian, they'll be like, "Ugh, yeah, Toronto." But that's okay. We expect that because we are the greatest. No, I kid, I kid. But no, we're not really. But I mean, I don't know. Like, I think I'd love to have a team here. It's just I feel like we have such rotten luck with sports teams. I mean, we've got the Leafs, that I am a rabid Leaf fan. We haven't won anything for a year. Like, we haven't won anything since before I was born. Like, it's been that long. So it can be tough at times, and I wouldn't want our team to end up like Shanghai, who went 0-40. Like, I feel so bad for them.
Oh.
I was rooting for them after the first the first phase, and they just couldn't get it together. Like, just could not. They've been close, God, not close enough, you know?
I do know. And listen, you're talking to someone who I live in the States. I live in Virginia near DC, and our local team is the Washington Redskins. And I'll tell
Hey.
you what, we haven't won a Super Bowl since the year I was born.
But your team just did win the cup, so in hockey, so that's okay. And it was your first one ever. So congrats to you guys. If you didn't know that, well, congrats anyways. That's okay.
It's very funny because I actually wore a red shirt to work the next day, and everyone was like, "Oh my God, congratulations. This is so momentous." And I was just like, yes, a thing happened." So I did learn about that. But I do feel a bit bad for the Shanghai Dragons. Just to get back to Overwatch, I feel like they really had a chance when they signed those four new players with Yuguri and Ado and Sky, and who else did they bring on? The name's not coming to me right now, but they had signed like four new people, and the team synergy was looking really good. And the weekend we went, flew out to LA, out to Burbank, and watched the matches. They took some matches against New York Excelsior,
Wow.
and that was about as good as it got.
So you've actually watched these things live? Like I don't know if I could deal with that. Like just being with all of the folks there and the like, is it loud? I would assume it's loud.
It's not as loud as you would think, and it's an emotional roller coaster. And I think it's not as loud as you would think because there's not as many people as you would think there. Like from the stream, it looks as though there are a ton of people there, but there's I would say like 10 to 15 rows of chairs on either side in that little pit area, and then there's some stands, but it's not a football stadium full of people. But
Right.
the energy there, Stone, let me tell you, it is infectious. And especially when the Dragons were on, because I think, people love to root for an underdog. So there was just so much, everyone in that stadium, you could tell how much they were just rooting for them to do something, to get their first win. And especially when they were taking maps against New York, it was just electric. I would highly recommend to anyone who's in the area, or if you have the ability to go, it's definitely an unforgettable experience.
Yeah, that's one of the things I would like to do. I was kind of hoping to catch one of the Overwatch matches at BlizzCon, not this year, the year before. Although I did want to go this year because we were in the World Cup, but then we lost to South Korea, which is not surprising, I think.
No, they tend to do quite well. Well, let me ask you. So we've talked about Overwatch a little bit, and we've talked about, the Blizzard franchises and what kind of you're excited for coming up with BlizzCon. And in my experience, I've been once. I went last year, and I'm hoping to go again next year. But my experience has just been going to the con proper. I've heard, however, that there are a bunch of really fun gatherings outside of BlizzCon. You've talked about Calm Before the Storm, you've talked about DitchCon. Do you go to any of these functions? Do you, host at any of these things? And does that experience enhance the overall BlizzCon package for you?
Yes, I've gone. No, I've not hosted. That would be terrifying for me. And it certainly enhances everything. I would honestly go to BlizzCon without the BlizzCon ticket because it's more about being able to meet face to face with the people that you know, and going to Con before the Dorm and the DitchCon for the last 2 years, you get to just hang out and chill out, right? And have fun. And you're not necessarily playing games, but now you get to know people, like know them, right? Versus just chatting with them on Twitter or something. I would so I've not hosted. We did get to go on a panel last year for World of Podcasts, which was also terrifying because it was my first ever panel. It's certainly different being sitting in front of live people staring at you while you talk versus sitting here in front of a screen and talking into a mic. It's completely different, right? So I would do it again, but it was terrifying. Let me tell you, it was good to do. Really, really thankful for it. This year, I don't know what's gonna happen. I believe that they have some plans for World of Podcasts, because I think because of the increased prices, they had to make World of Podcasts a higher backer goal. And I think they fell short by 2,000 or 3,000, but they're thinking about some other plans. So we'll see what happens. Kind of looking forward to that, to see all that stuff. And just, honestly, just hang out, man. I love just to hang out. I could go the whole con without going inside the con. Unless it was a World of Warcraft themed like expansion year, then oh man, I want to go inside.
Well, I think a lot of the joy of BlizzCon is, like you're saying, putting a name to faces. Because as much as I enjoyed going in and sitting and feeling the energy of the room as some of the things were announced,
Oh my goodness.
I mean, that's really fun, but also I could sit at home and watch that from the virtual ticket and kind of see better because I'm 4'11", and so sometimes my sight's not, I don't have a straight line of sight, let's say it that way. But like just meeting the people that I've been playing with in my guild is something that you articulated perfectly. It's so nice to just go and hang out.
Yeah, and I think I've done the virtual ticket 2 years before I decided to just go, because I was like, well, maybe this year I'll go, maybe the next year I'll go, and then I just decided, you know what, I'm just gonna go while I can, and so that was this convention now will be my fourth one, and I'm really happy I've gone. I've met some great folks there. And honestly, I would not be the same person if I chose to remain at home and watch it online, right? Because you miss out on being able to sit there with other people that you can chat with and take in that info. I think the next best thing would be to get online with guildmates and sit and chat live in like a guild Discord or chat server or something, right? That would be the next best thing. But if you can ever afford to go, even just once, I would say just go and do it, and you will meet some people, guaranteed. Guaranteed. It doesn't matter if you only play one Blizzard game, you will meet folks. And it doesn't matter what you play, everybody that I've met has been super nice. So yeah.
Oh, I second that, Stone, 100%. If you have the opportunity to go, I saved up quite a bit to be able to go. Like, this was something that I planned for. You can make it happen. And if you can, I absolutely recommend going. It's a once in a lifetime experience. And if you're lucky, it'll be, a multiple, maybe 4 times in a row, like in Stonecase's experience, and many more, hopefully. Well, there's one thing that you did mention, and I just want to give them a shout out. So we'll have to keep an eye on the World of Podcasts because that's something, as two podcast hosts, that we're very interested in seeing the community. This is a word we keep saying tonight. Seeing the community of WoW podcasters coming together is really special. There have been so many people that I have spoken with or that have just reached out and been so nice about starting up a game-based or WoW-based podcast that you just feel so at home with all these people. And I think that sitting around in person and doing that must be such a fantastic experience, if terrifying.
It was great to do, but yes, I was absolutely terrified. But I also had a lot of my friends were up in the front row keeping me in check. So it was all good.
I don't think, at least in my experience, granted, it's a little more limited than yours is, on WoW Challenges alone, you've got almost 200 episodes going. But I don't think that anxiety ever goes away or that terror ever goes away, that moment, right before you're about to start recording or right before you're about to start streaming, or if you're up on stage on a panel of guests about to talk about a specific topic. Like, I don't think that's something that ever goes away, but that's something that I think maybe people learn to enjoy or cope. What are your thoughts on this?
I don't know if it's something that goes away at, yeah, and but I think it is something that you eventually get used to, and I think because that because it was my first time being in front of like a live group, where I'm literally one of the people up there and trying to talk and with four other folks, four others and a host. Yeah, it's weird, it's different, but once you do it a lot, I feel like it's something that won't I feel like it's something that won't be an issue. For me, I think one of my bigger issues was when I talk, I sometimes have problems, and that was one of the reasons why I decided why I was like, well, I don't know if I should do a podcast. I kind of want to. I feel like we should. But what happens if I can't talk because my brain decides to make me talk like a fool? And eventually I just said, well, screw it and just do it because this is me. And if we do well, great. If we don't do well, that's okay too. But I'm not going to be held back by my own personal stuff. So, that by it's that always comes up. Every show I do, and I don't know how many I've done here. 100, and I think we just did 122. So we're not quite at 200. We're not even close to that. We're coming up to 3 years this summer, but yeah, it feel it. You know, when it does happen, when things happen, I panic a bit, and then I just deal with it. Because I gotta deal with it because we do a live show and people are watching us live, and when things screw up, well, just gotta deal with it, and that's just how it goes with a live show. That I mean, that's part of doing a live show is that bad things can happen and how you cope with it matters. So, I think we kind of cope with things well. I sometimes get all freaked out and start to ramble on like I'm doing right now. But then I start to drink, and it bothers my co-host a bit sometimes. But then it calms that calms me down, or that makes me very laughy, and I squirrel a lot where we're supposed to stay on track. Nope. But yeah, to get right back, see, this is what I mean about the squirreling. To get back to the original point. Yes, I feel like that sense of ugh is always there. It's just you will learn to cope with it. So, yeah, if you want to do a podcast and you want some help, like you have questions, I will absolutely help you out. It's really easy, really it is. Like you don't need a lot, really. Like if you just want to do a simple podcast, like very short. But one thing, easy to do, easiest thing to do. It's not hard.
Well, and I'm going to agree with you. It is the easiest thing to do to actually do the work, to actually start. And I think that you said something just then that I think is the perfect summation of, dealing with that. Those moments of leading up to starting something or continuing to do something, those moments of, oh, well, to start, I really need a good mic, or to start, I need a better camera, or to start, I need to know how to do this, or I need to know how to do that. No. What you said was, essentially, fuck it, just do it. And that is, as simple as it is, that is the nugget of wisdom from that statement is, you just have to start. That's the hardest part. And after that, you can just keep doing it. Because if something goes wrong, something goes wrong. But the majority of the time, it's not going to go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm on my headset mic. I've watched other podcasts that everybody is on like a headset mic. It doesn't matter what mic you have, just get something in front of your face, talk, put that into an MP3, done. And you will learn as you go along. If you're gonna do it to make some cash, that's a whole different thing. Completely different deal, I feel. But to make a podcast, just do it. Just go do it.
Yeah, I agree. I had the idea to start doing podcasts easily 2 years ago, and I didn't start for so long because I just kept going, well, I need to have all this branding in place, and I need to have, all this equipment and yada yada. And that's so ridiculous. No, you don't need any of that stuff. Just start. And eventually, through making mistakes, that's how you learn to do podcasts better, through trying to edit your audio. That's how you learn what a podcast should sound like, and things like that. You just start. Now, I wanted to talk about something that you touched on just a little bit, because you touched on, having some difficulty speaking and why that makes you nervous, especially in front of a live crowd. And I was curious whether or not that had to do with your ALS.
No, I've had trouble speaking my whole life, so I've gone through school with it. The kids at school would make fun of me all the time, which is, helps, or sorry, did not help with my social stuff when I was young. But ALS wise, it's kind of funny. Apparently the doctors say that my progression is so slow that they feel like I've had this for like years and years and years. Typically, when you have this, you go to the hospital. They tell you, yes, you have it, and within 2 to 5 years, you're dead. Unless you can afford to pay for a ventilator and get care and all that stuff. For instance, like Professor Hawk. Professor Hawk. King, he had it for years and years. But the only reason why he was alive is because he had a thing that breathed for him, right? So if he did not have access to that, thank God he did, because he's a really smart guy, he would not have been around. So for some reason, I don't know why, my doctor doesn't know, but he's seen this in a few people. Mine is really slow. Like really slow. Like I've had it for like 20 years, but didn't even know, right? So it's at a point now where it most certainly impacts my life, day-to-day life, like 100%. And sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes it gets me good things, like I get to get a parking pass so I can park closer to the entrance of like grocery stores and stuff. But overall, God, I really wish they would find a cure like in my lifetime, because I feel like if they could, like I would be able to live long enough for them to find something. Because I've lost some friends that I know that have this, and they were not as lucky as I was.
Well, let's talk about what you do for ALS when you do your 24-hour, or this year the stream was a little bit shorter, which is perfectly okay, but you do a live stream to raise funds for the Walk for ALS. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? Because I'm sure it's something that holds some significance for you.
So the first year I actually tried this was 3 years ago, or 2 years ago roughly. And that one I was able to make it 22 hours. I didn't have people there with me to root me on, to keep me up. And at about the 22 hour mark, my legs began to cramp and my hands began to cramp, and I'm like, yeah, I'm done. And last year, we were able to do 36 hours. And even though that wasn't planned, I was only planning 24. It's just the timing of it was I was going to start the stream at 8 p.m. on Friday, but I was planning on sleeping on Friday when the kids were in school. That didn't happen at all because I was too pumped up to make sure that the stream went well. And it ended up being a 36-hour, almost 37-hour stream. And I really don't remember going to bed. I kind of remember being in the shower briefly, and that's pretty much it. This year, we did, I think I only did 13 hours, and I actually changed my time because I thought, hey, starting it at midnight would be great because then I can go midnight to midnight and not noon to noon, because once I get out of the early morning hours, I should be fine. Because those are usually your body's circadian rhythm is at its low point at about 2 a.m. or so, I think. So once you get past that point, you should be kind of okay. And no, I feel like I was sick. I like that week, I had been like not like I wasn't coughing or anything like that, but sometimes I get like a slight fever. Like nothing too bad, just like what the heck's going on? Like weird stuff. Like it's just not well. And I just, at the 13-hour mark, I was like, no, I'm done. And it showed me that yeah, my body can't deal with this stuff now. So I think if we do this again next year, we're gonna be a little bit more smart about it and do something like a month of shorter streams. So basically, what we were trying to do is do a 24-hour live stream playing Overwatch and WoW, D3, D&D, and a shout out to Russell for running those games. He did it 2 years in a row now, and they've been great games. I've had lots of fun with them. So we're trying to raise money for to donate to ALS Canada. And basically, what they do with the money is that they put like 80% to research, and 20% goes to buying beds and scooters and stuff that people need. So basically, they were able to get me a scooter free. So I did not have, to pay for a scooter. Whereas if I went to walk my kids to school, we run the risk of me having a trip and fall, which is one of the worst things that could happen. Because apparently when you hurt yourself, and I don't know, the police are on the way apparently over here. I don't know if you can hear that. Jeez.
Too hot of a podcast.
I don't live in a bad neighborhood. Really, I don't. Okay, so basically if you trip and fall or you get hurt, for some reason it speeds up the progression. They don't know why. It just does. And so we take a lot of precautions to, my wife gets a little bit mad at me when I try and do things that I'm not supposed to do. I mess around with the front screen door, like I put it back on, right? And that took a lot from me. Like I was super tired. And normally I would be able to do that, but now I can't. And that's just part of the progression of it. So just things are getting, I'm just getting more tired and all that stuff. Getting weaker in my arms, that kind of deal. So if you see me at BlizzCon and I ask you, hey man, could you carry something for me? It's not because I'm being a lazy gimp. I literally sometimes I can't even carry a pot of water in one hand. It'll fall, guaranteed. But yeah, we try and raise money for the ALS Society up here. So they don't make as much money as you guys do, but still, they still try as much as we can.
Well, and this year you raised $2,015 for the walk, which is a very nice amount.
This year we didn't make as much, and I feel that is the beard effect, to be honest. The year before, I personally made about 5,000 bucks. And that was so, and that was because Celeste Talon had agreed to dye my beard dye my hair dye my beard purple, which is the color of ALS charities. So I think that really got folks into wanting to donate, because I said, if we raise 1,000, we'll do it, and if we raise 2,000, he agreed that we could do a live stream of it, and we raised like five. It was crazy. This year, I didn't ask him because I didn't want to bug him like all the time, because he gets like swamped with stuff, right? And I thought we did it last year, so I didn't want to look a gift horse in the mouth, right, kind of thing, and keep on, hey man, can we do it again this year? No, I want to, let him dye somebody else's hair that hasn't ever gotten done BP before, right? So, because it's fun to get your beard dyed and your hair dyed if you've got hair. I don't have hair on the top of my head anymore, but that's because I have kids.
But it's fantastic that you raised that much for the walk this year. Although we'll have to figure out, you'll have to figure out some sort of new beard effect. You'll have to sneak some prize in there, some wager in there, to get people to really connect this next year that you do it.
Yeah, I don't know what that's gonna be, and I think, see, the whole reason why we wanted to do the 24 hours straight is that, that's got much more appeal, right, than doing 6 hours for 4 weeks, so I don't have inflated high hopes, I don't think that we would be making as much next year. I think I'm still going to set my goal at 1,000, and if we make more, great. I mean, that's what did I go for. And because, to be honest, I'm asking people to give me money, to give to these folks to fund research and stuff, that, unless you live here, you don't get a tax write-off or anything, right? So sometimes that, it does play a part. We also happen to have our walk around the same time that everybody is doing Saint Jude's, which doesn't help either, and Calm Before the Storm fundraising and DitchCon fundraising. So we're, I mean, I would be happy with anything, honestly. And I just don't want to set my hopes too high, right? Because there's a lot of stuff that people want to give to, right? So.
I completely and utterly hear you, and I get where you're coming from, and I hope that next year your goal is met and plus some.
I hope so too.
And I think the appeal of the 24-hour stream is that good old telethon appeal, right? You used to have televised telethons where people are calling in and you have celebrity hosts.
PBS.
Yes, exactly. And I think that is the appeal of a 24-hour stream because you kind of have that feeling of like, oh, this is something special. Well, I want to ask you about something else that you've done, something else that's a labor of love, because you didn't necessarily create the Iron Man Challenge, but you have helmed it since. Can you tell me what attracted you to the Iron Man Challenge and why you decided to take over the website when you heard that it was going to be discontinued or going away?
So I first started the challenge, my own personal one, with Iron Man in 2012, I believe, and just because I was in a WoW kind of lull where I was like, I don't know what to do. I've got everything leveled up to max. I had characters leveled up to max on both sides, and what else is there to do? So I was like, okay, well, let's level up Iron Man styles and see what happens. And that didn't go so well. It ended badly, and I think it only leveled up to like 26 or something on a mage. I didn't put a lot of thought into what I was supposed to do, and I was in and out of it for a bit, and it wasn't until the end of Oh man, I'm forgetting my years. There was one either 2013, 2014. What year are we right now? It's 2018. Okay. Holy moly. I think maybe at the end of 2013. Yeah. We went to the Iron Man website and it was replaced with a basically like a auction like auction website, you know, like saying, hey, if you want this, go and bid on it or something. It's like, what the heck happened? So the person that ran it decided, well, they're not going to pay for it and just and decided to like not pay for it, right? So didn't let folks know, and I was like, okay, there's zero chance I'm going to let this thing go because we can do so much more than just irons, right? And even if it was just to save the iron sight, you know, and have us just level up as irons, I was like, yeah, I need to get the sight to make sure that the sight will be up and running for Warlords, because I think we got it right before Warlords. So it went up for auction, and I bought it, and I feel like the auction owner inflated the price on purpose. So I paid a little bit more than I really would like to pay for it, but I was like, no, I'm not gonna let this thing go. So from there, because we had the original site, I said, you know, okay, well that's one thing, but we can certainly change us into more than just irons, right? Like there's so much more that you can do in WoW. Like I wanted to do a challenge where you only leveled up by pets, right? And I wanted to do a challenge where who could make the most gold the fastest, right? So there's a bunch of things I would like to do, just now that I know what we can and can't do. You know, some of those things we couldn't do. So we can't do a pet battle one because there's no challenge in it. It's just more, you can sit there and be safe and battle pets and level up, and it's there's not a challenge really. And the auction house one is really, Blizzard doesn't let us look at gold values outside of WoW, so you have to be actually logged into WoW for us to be able to check your golds and how much got mailed and all that stuff. So we couldn't do that challenge there. So, but what we could do was variants on the Iron Man, which was bloodthirsty and pacifist, which I think were like opposite ends of each other. And from there, I think we did. That's when we like. That's when I spammed everybody. And if you're listening to this and I spammed you, I'm sorry. Kind of. I think hindsight, I probably would have done things a little bit differently. But I'm glad, still glad with how things turned out. From there, we did the podcast, and we actually created a tin challenge more as a response to slightly impressive Griff doing his own Tin Man, and basically it's like Iron Man, but if you die, we just keep track of your deaths. You can keep on going, so the higher you go, the better, but if you get too many deaths, like you're gonna be ranked lower, that kind of thing. So not a true iron challenge. But then we started doing, like, we've had iron teams now where you actually do the Iron Man challenge, but you can do teams. You can do Green Man where you can do Iron Man, but it's like with green gear, so it's a little bit easier because patch 735 completely killed it for a lot of folks. And we've actually just started doing bloodthirsty teams. So you team up with a friend and kill stuff. So don't do any quests. So overall, what I wanted to do was do this website where we can offer things for people to do in WoW to stay sub, because I keep seeing that, like, oh, there's nothing for me to do. Well, you know, sometimes there's lulls and all that stuff. I get that. But you know, I kind of wanted to offer another option, right? You know, and our thing is that we would only support like live retail stuff. Like I don't want to get into like the other free to play stuff because those things are against the law. And I don't want to do that. So I respect Blizzard a lot for all of their work and stuff. And I'm looking forward to Classic, really, because when Classic comes, we will venture into that. Try to do Classic versions of all the challenges that we have currently, which is going to be quite the undertaking, I feel. I hope it won't be, but I feel like it's going to be.
I think it'll be interesting because there's always kinks to work out. There's always updates to the rules to put out whenever you're doing a new format to something.
Oh yes. We've had to change the Iron Challenge quite a few times. Originally, the Iron Challenge, you were not allowed to pick a specialization. So once Legion came in, because of the weapons, the weapons, they forced you to pick a spec, right? And they made it that way on purpose because if you didn't pick a spec, it was gonna make it so that you couldn't pick a weapon. And that's not good, right? For as far as playing normal WoW. So we get why they did that, but we had to adjust some of our rules from year to year, or sorry, from expansion to expansion. We're not sure what's gonna happen with Battle for Azeroth. I think the biggest rule change would be war mode, that if you enable war mode and level, you get plus 10% experience. Normally we wouldn't allow XP buffs at all, but in this case we would, because you are, while you are getting an XP buff, you are also running the risk of being killed by another player, and a death is a death. So that's that, right?
Well, and for those of you who are listening, you may not know, although most people who listen, I think, will know what the Iron Man Challenge is. A basic summation of it is that, you have to go through the game without dying, without equipping any heirlooms. You have to have, I believe, gray or whites only. You can't use any
Correct.
potions. You can't choose any talents, any of those types of things. There's a whole list of rules, but it's essentially this challenge mode wherein, if you die, it's permadeath and you have to start over. And it's very difficult.
Yeah, I've got one character up to max, and that was on what I feel is probably the best race class combo to go with to start. Unless you're really, really comfortable with your class, honestly, you should probably go Night Elf Hunter, because you get a pet to tank, you can feign death, you can Domeld as well. It's not the end all be all for sure. So if you feel more comfortable playing on Pally, that's a pretty strong class. And Priest is actually strong as well. So yeah, I mean, I've only got one, and I know people that have many, 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 and it's like I don't know how these folks do it. I am in awe of them. And that's why we do the podcast, is, to shine the spotlight on these folks that play this and do it and complete it, just to say, hey, like there's different ways to play, and look at how hard it was, and they did it. Like, grats.
And there are different ways to do the challenge as well. There's not just the Iron Man. There's, you mentioned, Bloodthirsty, I hope that's correct, and the pacifist version as well. And I think for the Bloodthirsty, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you have to do it minimal questing to no questing, and you are just out there murdering mobs, which to me sounds fun. So it's like it would be really enjoyable. And then the pacifist version is where are you just not killing anything at all? You're just leveling through like mining or flower gathering? How are you doing that?
You'd basically take herbing and mining, level up like that. You can also take archaeology, and cooking and fishing. You can take any of the professions with pacifists. They are allowed to profs. The other ones are not. So at level 10 you start to get access to fishing dailies and things like that. As long as you don't kill anything, you know, like not even critters, then you're good. I find that one to be the hardest because it's slow leveling. I hear that once you get past level 10, or once you get to level 10, because you have access to all the extra stuff, it gets a little bit better. I've got a pacifist level 7. I don't touch her a lot or him a lot. It's just, you know, I want to kill stuff, right?
And are you allowed to die in Pacifist either? So you can't kill things, but can you die?
Nope. So if you die, you're done.
See, that is what I think would be difficult because now you have mobs that spawn when you mine things, when you gather things. You know, you have crocolisks and foxes and all sorts of things that now spawn when you are gathering. So I feel like that would be rather difficult. You gotta become pretty good at running away.
Yeah, I know that the spawning stuff doesn't really start until mists and higher, right? So I don't know what the high level characters do. Just thinking of there's one person, Fair. She levels pacifist like crazy. But she knows what to do, and it's like apparently there was some way to do it where if you didn't level your Archie past 450, but then you went into mists and you started to do those zones, you wouldn't trigger a Shaw to be spawned. And I was like, what? Like, no way, 'cause why would you ever level it past like level 75, right? But I think since patch 735, I think Blizzard has fixed that, where you need to be a certain skill level to do dig sites in certain zones now. I think they fixed it. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, let me cycle back to something that you had touched on when we were first talking about the Iron Man challenge, and you had said, you know, this is the reason that I wanted to start a podcast, to highlight those people that put in so much work to complete these challenges, to kind of show you can do this. Did you use that to turn your love of Warcraft and your love of the community into podcasts? What led you to have two podcasts? How did that happen?
The whole two podcast thing was basically, we play WoW just outside of like Irons and stuff. I feel I play more normal WoW than I do like Irons and Bloodthirsty, you know, all that. I mean, I think it switches back and forth depending on what's in WoW right now. Right now I'm not playing a whole lot of WoW at all because I'm mired in website dev right now, but it flip-flops. It came up because when we started doing the podcast and we talk about our weeks in WoW, and it used to be, so it was supposed to be our weeks, sorry, originally it was our weeks in WoW, and then we're like, you know what, we're taking a lot of time on doing like normal WoW stuff when the podcast is more supposed to be focused on Irons and Bloodthirsties and stuff, so let's not talk about our normal stuff. And then it was like, well, now we have nowhere to talk about, right? And we have nowhere else to talk about like things that are happening in WoW that don't necessarily pertain to the challenge site. So that's when Lee then and I decided, well, let's just do another podcast. Let's just have a separate podcast where we talk about normal WoW and just WoW overall, right? We were going hard for a while. We were doing once a week, and I think we had decided that we were going to do it at a early time for me, like really, really early. Because our normal Wow Chow and just show is 9 a.m. for her. And sometimes it's a little bit early. And so I said, okay, well, the only time I could do it here without the kids being up is if we do it at 4 a.m. my time. So we went that route. And then it became to be a little bit much for me. So now we're doing it once a month. And we're like we just did one last week, I believe. And I think the once a month thing feels good. I don't know what's going to happen come this next expansion. I feel like we're not going to change that. But that's why we had to create another podcast, because we didn't really have an outlet. And man, there's some really cool things that happen in WoW that I want to talk about. Like I feel like if I put a mic in front of me and talk, that's good. So we kind of did that and called it a podcast. I guess.
Well, and that's one of those things that what we talked about earlier, just start. That is the part, the big hurdle to get over. But like finding your way, figuring out, do I do this monthly? Do I do this weekly? Do I do this bi-weekly? That's something that I'm still trying to figure out. And it's kind of nice to hear that after, 120, 100 some odd episodes, that you guys are still figuring that out, and it's still something that's fluid. That's something that's nice to hear. Something else that I would like to hear is how you and Lita became co-hosts, because I think that the big time difference is because you guys do not, live in the same country, and so you have to find a way to work around that. How did you guys meet? How did you guys start podcasting together?
Remember when I said I spammed everyone? So I spammed a podcast called Control Alt Wow, and basically Aprillion and Rogue Slayer and Lita at the time were running Chal Eng tunes already, and I had no idea. And it was I just happened to hit a podcast that happened to be doing Iron Man and stuff, and I was like, oh great. So they asked me to come on, and I came on, and I had a great time. And it was then that I knew that I was like, okay, I really like we really need to do a podcast that's just on irons and stuff, like just that. And I'm not very good at directing guest questions and that kind of stuff. Like I'm not good at that part of a podcast. So if we switched roles, this podcast is going to be going very badly, because I would not ask you the right questions. I just be all over the place. I squirrel a lot, and I think I'm funny, but I'm not, and I'm going to do stupid things. So I knew I needed somebody that had been in podcasting for a bit, right? Like for a good while, more than me. Well, I guess, and anyone I asked probably would have been at that point, because I had never done one before. So, I had mentioned to her at the end of the show, I'm like, hey, I have an idea. Just wondering if you'd be around, if you'd be up to chat. And like, I know that you're busy. I gave her lots of outs, right? Like, because I'm like, I'm just some schmo, and these people are doing podcasts. Like, oh my God, right? Like, these guys are like super stars and stuff. And she said, yeah, okay, just give me a sec. And then I kind of like, I think I dodged her. I actually dodged her for a bit because I was afraid of asking her. And eventually she pinned me down and was like, hey, you wanted to ask me something, what? And I'm pretty sure she knew what it was that I was going to ask, right? And so I asked her and she said yes. And I'm like, that was right there. I was like, yeah, because she's really good at directing questions and ask stuff and making it sound fluid and natural. For me, I would be reading it off of a page, because I that's just how I am. So we fit very well together in terms of doing the show. She generally takes over during the first portion, which is the guest. And when it comes down to the news or talking about technical stuff with the website, or with other podcasts that we're going to do, that's where I kind of take over and I run my mouth a bit because I get drunk a little bit every once in a while just to spice things up a little bit. But yeah, that's how I met her, is through Control Alt Wow, and I'm sure that Aprillion is super mad at me because I stole her co-host. I didn't do it on purpose, but she was co-hosting both at the same time, so I didn't really steal her. But sorry, Aprillion.
Well, you guys have an amazing synergy, so I'm sure she is fine with it.
Yeah, and if we didn't, I don't know if the show would have lasted. Did that long? Originally, our podcast was once a month, and 3 years ago, in end of August, was our first show. Yeah, because this August will be our 3rd year anyway. So math is hard for me. So the first 5 6 months, we were once a month. And when we saw how things were going, we're like, listen, we need to do this once a week. Like, we need to, like, I feel like we can. And we did it, and we're like, and we were thinking, okay, well, we'll go to once a week. If it doesn't go well, we'll drop back to two, because it ended up being like, when we were going once a month, our shows were like 3 hours long, and that's just, I can't sit there for 3 hours. I just can't. And that's just not gonna happen. So I think it works well. There's some times where we get really long shows, even though that we're on once a week. This just depends on what we have to talk about that week. Lord help us if we had all that stuff to talk about and only once a month. Oh my goodness, it'd be like 12-hour show. Ugh.
Well, let me ask you my closing questions, which have become something of a segment with me, something that I'm kind of solidifying now, is I want to ask some of these like creative questions at the end. So it's okay if you take a little time to kind of think over it, to kind of consider your answer. So I've got two for you. Are you ready? Are you think you can do this? Are you available?
I'm very nervous now.
Okay, here's the first one. If you were to create a class in WoW, what would it be?
Oh, I already play the perfect class, the Death Knights, man.
Death Knights are the best. That is a very good response. Death Knights are fantastic. I love them. My main for the longest time was a Death Knight. She's been a couple different races of Death Knight, but I just love Death Knight lore. So that is a very good answer. But let's see, can you come up with something else?
See, I don't know if there's something that would, like, as a class, that would make me like that I would make up that would make me want to play it. The first thing that jumped up in my head was the Demon Hunter, but not the WoW Demon Hunter. It was the Diablo 3 one. That would be a cool class to bring into WoW, because it's sort of like a mix between the rogue. What's the outlaw rogue, because it's got guns and stuff, and a normal hunter where it's like ranged. I don't know, honestly.
That would be really fun.
I'm just, I'm a Death Knight guy. I love, as soon, like I held off on switching to Death Knight. My previous main was a rogue. And then when I came back, it was a warrior, tanking. And then I decided to give Death Knights a whirl at the end of Wrath, after everybody had gone through their urges to play Death Knights, so that there weren't a whole bunch of us. And man, I was stuck ever since. So honestly, I don't know if there'd be like a type of Death Knight that maybe might not be melee, like more ranged. But I don't know how that would be
Ooh.
as a class. Like maybe they could make Frost as like a ranged Death Knight. That would be cool. That would be neat.
Yeah. Oh, that could work for Unholy too, like if you think about like sucking people's souls
No.
out.
Yeah, I could. I like being melee and up into the boss's grill, and that's the spec I play the most. I try not to play Frost because I kind of feel like they've always been the best spec. But I feel like the ghouls and all that stuff, like that's got more of the essence of the class overall, is that you command all of these undead. And when they made it so that army could only be popped by the one spec, that was great. I was like, oh great, because now it's like, yeah, I am the one true spec. I can raise like the army of the dead, right? It's pretty cool. But yeah, I guess like a hybrid of like a Death Knight, but maybe ranged.
That does sound really fun. You could have like a very Elsa-esque Frost Death Knight thing going on here. We've already got Howling Blast, so you know that works out. I will say, you know, as a longtime Frost Death Knight main, I feel very salty about losing Army of the Dead, but you know, that's okay. You can have your undead. That's all right. You know, it's fine.
You
It's
but
fine.
you guys were like the top DPS spec of the two for so long, and it was only this expansion that we really came out on top. And everyone was trying, to ask me, well, how do you manage your diseases and stuff? I'm like, man, I don't know. You just do it. Just play. Yeah, I think a ranged Death Knight would be pretty cool, because they've done that with hunters, where they've made survival as melee, right? So, why not make a ranged Frost DK? Yeah. Don't change Unholy. Don't change Unholy.
Okay, we'll have some icicle slinging Frost Death Knights. That sounds really rad. I want to see some fan art of that actually. So, I don't know if you've had this episode yet. And if you have, please direct me to it because I want to listen to it. Because you joking and saying, you know, someone sneezed and dismounted and died. But have you guys done an episode about the most hilarious deaths? You know, because I'm sure you get tickets or complaints about, oh, I died, but can you grant me an exception? Or, oh, this happened, but, you know, can I get unflagged? What are some of the wildest things that you've heard?
Yeah, the sneezing thing actually was something we just heard about recently. We had a guest on Taco, and she sneezed and it caused her death. It was like, what the heck? We've heard all kinds of stuff, like people forget that they're beneath the water and they walk away and they come back and they're dead. It's like, why did you leave yourself there, people that say that they didn't die, but their WoW does say that they died, and it's like, yeah, we can't change that. So, sorry if you actually didn't die. I've never heard of that ending before, but yeah, that's they've we've had many people ask us to flip a flag for, like, let's say, oh, I accidentally put on a green piece of gear. Well, that's part of the challenge, is you having the mental strength to not equip green or higher gear. So that's part of it. Sorry, you're flagged, and that's it. We had one person, Gold, when he was doing the Iron Man challenge a couple years ago, he was killed by a mob that was invisible, which is like, what the heck? Like, you can't do anything about that. He, to his credit, he did not ask me to flip a flag, so it was his group that did that was like, oh, why can't you flip it? Because it was obviously a bug, right? Yeah, it's a bug. And other people, and the thing was, is that, you know, we would say is that, you know, other people have died like this and we didn't flip flags, you know, and we're not going to look at video on every single person that claims that this happens because, oh my God, that's going to be a nightmare. But again, to his credit, he did not ask us to flip it. It was his fan base that did, right? And we're like, no. If it, like we said, if you can get Blizzard to unset that death, more power to who you. But Blizzard will not change those deaths, never. So, yeah. Honestly, we've had all kinds. Every time we have a guest on, we actually one of their questions is, what is the worst way that you've gotten yourself killed? and there's some pretty good ones. Yeah, I think, you know, sorry if we're going over. I just want to say one more thing. When Lita got her hunter up to level 60 for the first time and was going to enter into Outlands, I told her, well, now that you got flying, don't fly too high, because if you fly too high and you get kicked off your mount for some reason, well, you're dead, right? But on the other hand, don't fly too low, because if you fly too low, you might, you know, get mobs and all of that stuff. So, apparently she took the don't fly too high part to mean kind of stay low, and she flew over a horde town and got shot down and killed. She was so mad,
Oh.
and it's my fault, and everybody still reminds me to this day that I told her to fly high. And yeah, sorry, that I told her not to fly high and that caused her death. And it's like, yeah. So yeah, we've had all kinds. Actually, that would be a actually that gives me a good idea, is that maybe for our 3-year anniversary we should get a compilation of all the deaths. Yeah. Because we've been struggling to figure out what we're going to do for our 3-year show. Still don't know what we want to do. The woes of a podcaster, I guess, right?
Well, I think that would be a really entertaining episode because while I like hearing, each individual person's story, that's just one question in an entire episode. To have a full episode dedicated to, like, even if you just have, like, people submit stories and you read the stories, or if you go back and do clips of people's most memorable deaths and whatnot, I think that would be really entertaining and I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I think the clip show might be a thing, which unfortunately means I have some work to do.
And on that note, let me ask you if you would like to plug anything at this time. Is there anything that you want to share? And I will link all of your details below in the podcast description.
I guess, yeah, you can find everything about us at wowchow. Engines.com. Everything that you need is there, like website, Facebook, podcasts, all that stuff, Twitter and all that. I guess, yeah. Honestly, I would plug DitchCon, but they're funded, so I feel like they're good. So I'm looking forward to DitchCon, and I'm looking forward to seeing Bell and all of our friends, and Calm Before the Storm, and Seraphis, who's actually my guild leader too. Because I joined his guild, and I'm glad I did because it's fun. So yeah, here's a plug. Here's a plug. Oh my God, squirreling so bad. Here's a plug. If you're looking for an alliance guild on US, you can go to the server Dalaran and apply to Phalanx of Nod. If you do a search for Phalanx of Nod, I think dot engine. .com. I think that's where we are. That's where you can apply. Yes, we still use applications and stuff, but honestly, it's 18 and over because we're really naughty. And we talk about butts and stuff.
Ooh, scandalous. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you giving me your time today. I've had a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me. I you know, it takes me a little bit to get out of my shell, but you know, it was good stuff. Thank you.
All right, you guys, go give Stone a follow, listen to his stuff, and we will see you next week. Goodbye. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Stone Grass. I just wanted to pop on here in the end real quick to apologize for all that squeaky chair audio in there. I'm now recording on a chair that does not squeak, so all episodes going forward should be squeak-free, squeaky, squeaky, unless I make them, of course. And hey, if you liked this episode, it would help me a lot if you rated and reviewed this show on iTunes. That helps me get seen and potentially get more guests. So if the spirit's moving you, please leave us a review.